Hello again for the last time in 2019.
Yes, it is.
This is the Run the Ropes podcast, season 2, episode 6.
Yep. Oh, wow. You kept count this time. Thank God.
I remembered last time was 5, unless we have 2 fives, in which it's 7. But last I said time. It was 6, so it's 6.
Well, it was 6.
Anyways, that being said, last one, 2019. We won't be doing one next week for the Christmas holiday break.
Yep.
The next time you will hear us, well, if you're on our Facebook page, you'll actually see us. January 1st, first day of the new year, we'll be hitting up Facebook Live for a live podcast. We'll record it too. We'll record the audio too. But we will be announcing the winners of our End of the Decade Awards, which, if you go on to our Facebook now, there is a link that you can go to, and you can fill out the categories for best, or your who you think the best male and female WWE wrestlers were, the best female and male non-WWE wrestlers were, the best WWE match of the decade, the best non-WWE match of the decade, and the most influential wrestler of the decade.
Boom.
Now, last week we talked about the male and female wrestlers of the decade inside WWE and outside. This week we're going to talk about matches, and we will discuss the influential wrestler as we are revealing the awards. Like, I think we'll probably tell it what everyone thought.
Yeah.
And then if ours are different, we'll have a discussion about it. Like, it'll be a good time.
It's what we do.
Yeah. So that being said, before we get into it, let's just, if we got anything to recap or we got anything to say, let's do that. I do have a critique I have to make in a second, but I think you have something that everyone needs to hear first.
I do? Oh. Happy birthday, Stone Cold.
I'm not in on the beer, but I have enough whiskey in my Coke that I need a Coke to chase my Coke and whiskey.
That's what good friends do. They give their friends whiskey.
Rot gut whiskey.
And you get what you get without the sass.
I mean, I didn't say no to it, so...
That's good. That's good beer.
It's okay, Coke and whiskey. It'll get the job done.
It'll do what I need.
Yeah. Anyways, so I'll start some things off with a bit of a critique.
Okay.
It's going to be my first negative comments about AEW.
Okay.
So that's big for me to even say, because I've been a big fan of
them. I hope so. Lynn listens to our podcast.
I hope so. We're getting into it 3 minutes in. All right. So, now, I'm not one of these people that upon the start of the show, the AEW and everything, where they were like, oh, win and loss records are actually going to mean something. I took that as they will mean something.
Yeah.
I didn't take it to the extreme of, oh my God, it's the end all be all. It's wrestling. I know that it's not the case. It's like,
it's predetermined.
It's like people throwing a fit, about Jericho and Jungle Boy upcoming tonight on Dynamite when Jungle Boy hasn't won a singles match, but it was like, it's not for the title.
Has he even won a tag team match either?
Yes, but I'll get to that. Anyways. it was just, actually, technically, I guess he hasn't, but Jungle Express has.
Okay.
Or Jurassic Express, sorry.
Jungle Express.
Yeah, well, hey, at least I'm not calling him Jungle Jack.
Easy, J.R.
Anyways.
You don't want him red-assed on us.
Yeah, so, anyways. I know that there's some fluctuation there, right? As they themselves, AEW, have tried to elaborate, the wins and losses matter, but it also matters on the quality of who you've beat.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
They said that does take into consideration. And they were explaining that when we got the match of Emi Sakura versus Riho. Because Emi wasn't number one contender. It was a teacher versus student. It was a special attraction thing. I get that. You are allowed to do that. It doesn't mean...
It doesn't mean, like, every time. It's not
just
like...
because someone's a number one contender doesn't mean that someone else can't get a title shot for some reason. It just means you are in line to get a formal title shot.
It's not like UFC, where, you know, you start at the bottom and work your way up to face the right, champion.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it used to be that way, but...
And I get that you are going to hold it to that extent for certain reasons.
Yeah.
I get a blood feud might intervene over the person who's the next person that's supposed to fight for the title. Like, Scorpio Sky got a shot, but he wasn't number one contender. It's because he pinned Jericho.
Yep.
It's a showcase. So,
yeah,
like...
yeah, but I get where the record should matter. Okay? Now, here's where my issue comes.
Okay.
Last week's Dynamite. They start hyping up for this week's Dynamite because it's the last show of 2019 for AEW and NXT, and they're all going all out trying to...
boost the ratings for the end of the year.
Yeah, and like give it a real, you know, end with a bang. So they announce during a women's match that Britt Baker and Chris Statlander are going to face off on this week's AEW Dynamite for the number one contendership in the women's division. Now, yeah, you're already giving the weird eyes here. Well, it's because Shida, Hikaru Shida, was the number one contender last week. So why the hell are these two fighting for the number one contendership when Shida's not one of those two there advertised? I started having a problem with this. I, you know, not that I have a huge amount of people that interact with me and stuff on Twitter, but like I tweeted it. And then there's no answers. There's no explanation. No one can say anything as to why this is, right? Then they come out with the rankings, and they have Britt Baker as number one, and Statlander as number two, and Shida's now moved down to number three. I get why Statlander and Shida are close, because she pinned Shida. But it has Statlander's 2-0. Statlander didn't... She's only had one singles match. Britt Baker has a better record than Shida, and that's why she's up top. Shida's 3-2, Britt Baker's 4-3.
Yeah.
Okay, so just because more matches made her number one contender, and now they're battling out. Well, I'm like, none of this makes sense because that record's inaccurate. This isn't right. Like, what's going on? Well, then I find out last night while I'm watching AEW Dark, it's because Britt Baker won in a match on Dark, and so didn't Statlander. Dark, as you and I know, and most people should by now, is taped, is recorded.
Yeah.
Before the AEW show. So when you watch Dark, you're actually watching last week's Dark matches.
So like right now, Dark's going on in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Dark. It's going to go on. You'll watch it next week on YouTube.
Exactly. So here's where my issue is. So this is multifaceted for this reason, but I'll make my point. So my first issue is you're announcing this matchup happening on Dynamite last week before anyone sees what's happened on Dark.
Yep.
I don't go looking for Dark spoilers anyways. It's not because I'm trying to be one of those people of, oh, don't spoil it for me, but there's plenty of people out there that are like that. So basically, you're spoiling your own show by announcing this match. I do understand you're trying to hype up next week's show and it's supposed to be big. But either that means you don't care about people watching Dark, or you were ill-prepared and rushed your way to get to this point. And that's okay. You're early on in the show. Mistakes like that happen. The thing that upset me was, is this going to be a constant thing? Am I going to sit here and look at the numbers and the matches and the facts and figures and realize that, oh, if I don't read the spoilers for what happened on Dark, I'm actually behind?
Yeah.
Then should I be watching Dark? I want to watch Dark because I enjoy quality of match. But not knowing who wins and loses does make me want to watch more. You know, so if I don't see it online, but you yourself are spoiling it on your own show, am I supposed to care about Dark? That was my big thing. That is my biggest gripe on that whole situation, is I do not want the TV to start saying, like, well, Dark really doesn't matter, and doing things like that. Like, oh,
then
like,
it just becomes heat and velocity and...
Exactly.
Main event and
my
stuff
other,
like that.
My other situation, okay? My other thing that I... Because this is kind of twofold. It stems from this same problem. The wins and losses rankings.
Yeah.
Okay? When they were trying to clarify and let people know it's not all about the rating, but when it comes to or rankings, when it match, you know, wins and losses, it's not all about that. But when it is about that, when it comes down to it, it is also about the quality of the opponent that you have beaten. Okay?
Okay.
Sheeta's number one contender, gets beat by Statlander. I get why she's in the discussion.
Yeah.
Britt Baker has a better record than Sheeta. No, no, no. Okay. She has a better record than Sheeta, okay? She's 4-3.
Okay.
As of Dark last night, Britt Baker has beat Jamie Hayter. I don't want to call them jobbers, but they're basically being used as enhancement talent. And B Priestley. B is the only one there that has been made to be a big deal. The rest of them are enhancement talent. Sheeta has beat Britt Baker.
Yeah.
Which should rank her higher then.
It should. In all
honesty. And she beat, correct me if I'm wrong, she beat Emi Sakura. Who also challenged for the championship. And is in the top five list. So... Hikaru Shida has beaten two people that's on the top five list. Number one and number five. So but yet she's number three because Britt Baker has a better win-loss record. Actually, it's still one apiece. It's 3-2 and 4-3.
Yeah.
Shida's just had less singles matches. But Brits have been fluffed with jobbers. So... if it comes to quality of opponent, Sheeta should still be up there, and it should be Sheeta and Statlander. It's the same way with Moxley being number one and on record, because him and Kenny's match didn't count. He's beaten Pac and Janela, and the other three have been like
when he
Peter Avalon and
John Silver's partner.
And
it was the shortest match.
He's 5-0, but like, compared to Kenny, who's like 5-2. Kenny's been fighting tougher matches.
Well, I was gonna start calling you DJ.
DJ?
Yeah.
Why?
Dave Jr.
Well...
because you're looking into it way too much.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I am, but
you
the
are.
Only... here's the only reason I am. The only reason I am is because when it first started and wins and losses matter, everyone immediately took that the stats...
That's
where
they
fucked
up.
...are the end-all be-all.
Yep, that's
right?
Where they messed
and
up.
And they have pissed off some people with that. But they tried to justify it. The thing is, they tried to say... yes, wins and losses matter, but it's also about quality of opponent and situation. It is wrestling, so shit can happen. And I am completely on board with that. But also, it's quality of opponent. Okay, so in this situation, Britt has more wins by one, but three of her wins were enhancement talent.
But they didn't say that. They just said wins and losses matter. Didn't
well,
matter
no,
about
no.
Your
they
opponent.
They tried to elaborate on it on social media when people were first giving them backlash at the first time there was any issue of wins and losses matter. They tried to say it also quality of opponent also comes into plays a factor. So by you say like that's where my issue is. I am fine with all the situational stuff. I'm fine with it can be a blood feud or a pop-up match and it not mean... I'm fine with that. The thing I'm not fine with is the only reason that we've established that this is the number one contenders match, because there's no feud between Statlander and Baker. Nothing has happened to Sheeta to knock her out. The only thing is we said they're ranked number one and two, and they're ranked number one and two by their win-loss record.
Okay.
Well, you said that the win-loss record also takes into consideration quality of opponent. And by quality standards, Britt should be three or four.
So what they've done is they've worked themselves into a pickle.
Yeah, because for, like I said, I'm despite my feelings on Britt, it would have been the same way numbers-wise anyway. If they'd have put Nyla in there, it'd have been the same way. Like,
well, my thing is, if they want to talk about quality of opponent, doesn't that kind of downgrade some of your talent?
But your quality is based on their record. That's why I'm saying Sheeta deserves to be higher, because Sheeta's beaten people who are on the top five list.
Yeah.
But Britt Baker has not beat anyone that's currently on the top five list. Her biggest win is against Bea Priestley, who's not on this list this week. The other three are newbies.
I think you're looking into it too much.
I know I probably am, but like I said, I only did it because I am this kind of person that when people are... there's so many people who are against AEW for no reason. Like, off the bat, yes. They just picked a side, right? So, I am the kind of person that I try to analyze stuff the best that I can so that when I do get into an actual legitimate argument, not just some...
Man, you wouldn't have did good in the 90s.
Just some bullshit, someone jerking the chain and the dick of WWE. When it's someone who, like, legitimately brings up a valid argument point. Oh, they said wins and losses matter. Well, how do you explain this?
Yeah.
And they bring that up. I like to be the person that has a reason. If I'm going to defend you, like, because I'm a fan, I want to have a reason to defend you. You just gave me one hole that I can talk to anybody now about this show. And then they're like, yeah, well, they said this and it's not true. And I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
And in today's world, unfortunately, the type of people that exist, one plot hole, one pinhole in something means the whole thing's ruined, even when it's not. So basically, you just given, for some people, no leg to stand on to defend. Just from that one little thing. And I know that's it's me looking too much, but at the end of the day, it's there now. Yeah. It's there. And it's like, kind of upsets me. Anyways.
You did terrible in the 90s.
Why?
Because, I mean, just the way that things were at the Monday Night Wars.
I could have just been ignorant then and said 83 weeks.
Yeah. But then you would have been like every sports fan in the world.
Yep.
But then 83 weeks, ooh, but who won the war?
Okay.
We're not, no, don't even start.
Who won the war? Who won the war?
Not Bischoff. He's been fired twice.
You cannot argue that WWE won the war with WCW.
How not?
No, you can't argue that they didn't. WWE won the war with WCW. My question is, did WCW
lose on purpose?
No. Not did they lose on purpose. Did they continue for the rest of time to give Vince trouble because of things like TNA and Ring of Honor and now AEW? Because New Japan was a thing.
Yeah.
That's been a thing. All Japan was a thing.
Yeah.
There's been other promotions. The NWA was a thing. But none of them, and still financially, none of them are giving WWE a run for their money.
Oh, no.
But there's more alternatives now than there's ever been.
I think just because there's an alternative doesn't mean anybody's at war.
Well, what I'm saying is, Okay, so before WCW, was there anybody that was legit alternative that wasn't based locally?
I don't know. I wasn't born.
Well, same. But so, I don't think it's the case. I think they were all based locally, like your local territories. It was territory
days.
Well, that Vince didn't buy and take over.
Yeah, but they were all territories that Vince bought them all.
So now we have, they're not territory based.
Yeah.
No. Impact's not, AEW's not, ROH is not. That's what I'm saying. Before WCW, it was territories and WWF.
Okay.
Now, there's just
organizations. They're territories.
Right, but those organizations are bigger than the territories ever were.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, WCW, by being defeated, Vince should have done what Vince was originally, like, the original thought and plan of having WCW on and WWF.
Okay.
Owning them both, but letting them be their own separate things that early on, because it might have taken away from the vacuum that was left from WCW being gone to make things like TNA.
Okay, but TNA didn't come till
2002.
Okay.
That's when they started. WCW closed in 2001, only a year later.
But they didn't start hitting mainstream till when? Well,
like 2005 was when I was watching them on FS1.
So there.
But yeah, but what I'm saying is, if it, instead of Raw and SmackDown, it's WWE, you had WCW Nitro, and you had Monday Night Raw, and you had something else, like Vince made his own competition.
Yeah.
Would you have had those other companies be looked at as much? That's a debate for another time, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Vince won the war, but I think Vince hurt himself by just closing it.
But he really didn't hurt himself. He's still financially...
Well, yeah, but you have more people like us now than what you would have probably if you didn't. Then again, maybe everybody would have got bored.
Well, yeah, and then wrestling just would have died altogether. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean,
it doesn't matter. I mean, I'll take variety any day.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I'll take variety over quantity. Quality, I mean. Because, I mean, as you can tell, some of the wrestling nowadays just sucks. But it's nice to have a variety of, say, if I want to watch this, oh, I can go back and watch this. You know, it's something different.
I mean, I find myself watching less WWE now. So.
Well, that's because you kind of had that mindset when AEW got announced, though.
Yeah, but now it's not even... Now it's not even that. Now it's...
I know.
On my Tuesday nights, I have three shows.
Like,
on
I know Wednesday, it sucks. I got a show. Like, I know we're in a debate, but like, I know WWE sucks right now.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
But I just hate that, like, everybody's like, well, this fucking sucks, that sucks, but AEW is the greatest. And I'm like, I like it, but I like WWE too. And, like, no one can sit there and shake their dicks together and get along. It's just...
I don't want to shake my dicks.
You know what I meant.
My dicks, both of them, with someone.
You know what I mean. I just get tired of the fucking banter back and forth on the goddamn page about it.
We talked about this last
week. I know, and it still irks me. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, you don't like it, we fucking get it.
Right.
Like Orange Cassidy is the silliest gimmick alive. But he's so fucking over.
That's right.
Get over your goddamn self about it. I'm done. Done.
Boy, this all turned into a love relationship with you and Orange Cassidy by the end of it.
I like Orange Cassidy.
It started out with a legit gripe from me of records and ended with you saying, fuck it, it's Orange Cassidy, he's great.
I like Orange Cassidy. I have since GCW. And yes, I know he's the silliest fucking gimmick. But do you know anyone that can work with their hands in their pockets? Fuck no. So you get over there and you train wrestle and he'll throw his fake kicks, but your guy's not as over as Orange Cassidy, so there. Stick that in your butthole and smoke it. I am done. Go on about the decade.
And here I thought I was going to be the one heated. Anyways.
I've been sitting on that for a while.
Yeah.
Since the post that you made of him being secretly
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. So it's a good one.
That's funny. Anyways.
Hey, is that Chris Sabin and the Young Bucks?
Yes. Max Buck and Nick Buck.
Ah.
The Generation Me. We currently have Impact from last night.
This is a flashback in the moment background. For a week. Yeah.
They are showing the ladder match.
The Motor City Machine Guns.
Yep, and Generation Me.
Nice. Okay, good one. Let's go about the decade. Let's get this.
So, we are now discussing two other categories. We discussed four on the first. We discussed two
male
on this and
female.
One. In and out of WWE. Yeah. This time, it's match. We did not specify men and women's match, because matches should be held to the same caliber, as far as I'm concerned. And unlike TLC, we're not going to choose any stinkers as our match of the night. Hope Kairi Sane's okay. That match, though, was a stinker.
Can we not even talk about it? Just go on. I don't even want to talk about it. Go on.
Some innovation here.
Well, I turned it off after the Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy match anyways. I said, fuck this, I'm done.
As soon as Corbin and Roman started, it was over.
Well, I went back and watched The Miz versus Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And everybody shit on it, but it told a story.
It told the story. It was more about the story. That's what Bray matches are. They're more about the story. Anyways. Back to this.
Yes, back to this.
So 2010 to 2019, WWE and non-WWE match of the decade. I've been sitting and thinking a lot. It's been a hard time trying to figure it out. I think I haven't figured out. I told you that I didn't have three matches.
You never have three. Break the rules.
I told you that I didn't have three, ready, because for one of the categories, I straight up only have two. Everything else that could be a third still don't match up to the first two. So I can mention some honorables there, but...
Yeah, do honorables, because that's what I did.
Okay, so... The honorables. What are we doing first? WWE, non-WWE?
It doesn't matter.
I'll let you pick.
Do non.
Non-WWE. And this is, am I still going first in these? Is that what you're
doing? It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So, non-WWE. Lots of options there. There were three matches between Kenny and Okada. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But I'm actually not.
You
jerk. I am, but I'm not. I think AJ and Shinsuke
at Wrestle Kingdom?
At Wrestle Kingdom is my number three. Number two is Omega Okada 2, the Broadway.
Okay.
Number one, Omega Okada 1.
Interesting.
I told you this last week. I don't know. This is going to sound bad. I don't know if we were recording when I said this or not. But seriously, wrestling had become like this weird thing. Like, I was super into wrestling at the time. Thanks, Siri. So, wrestling had become this... weird thing for me at that point. I was with the other page.
Yes.
And I was all into it. I was all about it. We randomly cut promos on each other about bullshit. We were sharing stuff, having debates, all this kind of stuff. Things that we can do here. But there was so much shit happening that, like, I wasn't into the matches as much.
Okay.
My eyes were being open to things outside of WWE. And now, this is me saying, I've gone back to look at older stuff in this discussion. I didn't just take it from, like, where I've been watching. But for some reason, I was watching matches with, and now it's this, and now it's this, and now it's this, and now it's this. And I do remember saying on our pod last week that I had, like, we ran, like, the fantasy league, like fantasy football, but for wrestling.
Yeah.
Those were the moments that got me excited for wrestling, was when my pick was about to do something amazing. Not so much that it was the match itself. The Fantasy League and the page kind of kept me into wrestling.
Okay.
I was following Kenny after he won the G1 and all that. I signed up for New Japan World. I watched my first live Wrestle Kingdom. I had seen a couple before. But I watched my first live Wrestle Kingdom, and I remember I was up, I was getting ready for work, drinking coffee, which I never drink coffee. At that point in time, I had never drank coffee, or like I didn't normally. I was drinking coffee because I had been up all night and knew I had a day of work.
Yep.
I had to go into work. I was late. I was late to going into work. I was like, nope, I am finishing this match. I had no idea it was going to be so long. Didn't care. I had to finish this match. I was so invested. The match, like, it took over me, man. Like, I was so into it. I didn't know who was going to win. Oh, it's time for Kenny to, like, oh, the first Gaijin main event, like, to, like, earn his shot and, like, do, oh, my God, yes, let's do this. And he lost. But throughout the course of that show, it started making me want to watch Wrestle Kingdom or New Japan more. And then I get to that main, and I'm just like, these guys are fucking ridiculous. This might have been... I said it then, and I still hold true to this. It might have been the greatest wrestling match I've ever watched in my entire life.
Hmm.
I think Kenny Okada might have been the best wrestling match I have ever watched in my entire life. The reason that two
didn't make your number one
made it to number two is because it did the same kind of emotion. I was like, yeah. Oh, second time, here we go. Went to a damn time limit draw, and I was so pissed. I was pissed for an hour and a half, and then I started realizing what great storytelling. And I was okay with it. I was immediately okay with it. I was enraged, right?
Yeah.
The only reason that it is not number two is because I was already invested because of the match before. All I had saw was like promo videos and a few offhanded matches. I didn't know what I was about to get. So when I was watching the first one, as it was happening, I was just like, what the fuck is this that I'm watching? It is incredible. So, yeah. So Kenny Okada won.
Is your number
one. Is my number one, and I hate to say it this way, because I know, especially like the professor, I have been saying this when it comes to this decade, till about 2015, in my opinion, till about 2015.
Wrestling didn't matter.
It didn't matter. Not that the stories weren't worth telling, but the matches. Like, some of them, yeah, of course you had some great matches before then, but the work rate in the last 5 years of wrestling has gone so over the top that it beats out the first half. But yeah, so that's my number one. Kenny Okada won Wrestle Kingdom.
Nice. What, you got an honorable mention?
My honorable mentions were Kenny Okada 2. Okay. And I know they were all New Japan. I hate to say that, but like,
that's all right.
Impact at that time wasn't delivering amazing main events, and ROH had great talent putting on great matches, and they are consistent about that, but just none of them blew me away like that.
Well, so. my honorable mention's Cody versus Dustin.
Yeah. I think part of my brain said,
just because of the story,
it's so new that it blocked it. But you're right. You are right. Outside of WWE, definitely top five.
My number three. Don't judge me for my list at all. My number three is...
no judgment here. The only thing I'm judging is this whiskey.
Is the Bucks versus the Briscoes at Ladder War.
Are you talking just them straight up? Or are you talking about when Briscoes... SCU. Yeah, okay, that one. Yeah.
The three-way where Nick about dies.
Yeah.
My number two is oh, my God. He about spit the whiskey everywhere.
About spilled it.
My number two... is from Final Battle 2010.
All right.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Steen versus El Generico.
El Generico?
Yeah. Dude, the fucking ring. I love the layout of that ring. With the red and then just a black square.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Steen's busted open within like the first 3 minutes of the damn match. It was good and told a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And they went 30 minutes. 30 freaking minutes. And then number one is Kenny Versu called number one. So we good day.
My man.
We good day. Too sweet.
Yeah.
But that's my honorable mention. That's my top three. This one was really hard. Like, it was really hard to narrow it down to which three, especially when there's so much wrestling to pick from. And I was getting down to the timeline. I'm like, okay, I just need to pick three. I need to put three down that I want to put in there, and then I'll put an honorable mention. But then, so WWE.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of rolling on this.
We are, because last week it was more of a debate.
Yeah, and there was a lot of, there was four categories.
Yeah.
We're only doing two. So, WWE, match of the year. Now, contrast to what I just said about the later half of the decade, the work rate mattering. In WWE, after about, I hate to say it this way.
In between 2011 and 2015 sucks.
I'm going to say the day Punk left, it hasn't mattered.
Oh, no.
There's been a few blimps, like, of on the radar, right?
Yeah.
But even though the work rate's been great, the work rate's been better than what it ever was in WWE. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about an equality to New Japan. I mean, we all know Seth can go. We've had some great like matchups, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that hurt.
Caught your goatee in your zipper.
I did. It's better than catching your nuts in a zipper.
Oh God. Anyways,
sorry.
So work rate's been a lot better, but like I don't know if the moments and the stories have felt as big. There's been a few moments, but like I said, a lot of those were based off the fantasy stuff that I was doing, like the fantasy wrestling instead of fantasy football. I keep giving comparisons so they don't think that it's like some weird fantasy.
BJ Shugley replayed Final Fantasy with his wrestler.
But, yeah, like earlier on, it just felt like it mattered more and like I was more into stuff and like stories were better.
Yeah.
And it just meant more to me earlier on in the decade. And so there's a couple of things that I want your opinion on.
Okay.
And yes, your opinion.
Ooh, my opinion.
Does help me weigh where my head is at, because I'm torn between two, but I will give you the reasons.
Okay.
So, best WWE match. With Okada and Kenny, it was the work rate of the match, the story told in the match. So it's the story that was happening that led us to this point, the story that was told in the match, and the actual moves, like the match itself.
Yeah.
Complete package. I'm torn on my number one, because which weighs more? And I can't tell which weighs more to me, because I think for different situations they don't matter. And I can't tell whether the story means more,
okay,
or the match means more, because they both factor into the match.
Well, now you got me itching at it.
Well,
what is it?
Well, I'm asking you, in your opinion, does the story matter more than the moves?
Yes.
Or does the moves and the spectacle of it being great matter more?
Nope, story.
You think the story?
That's why I can't really get into New Japan.
Because you can't get into the stories.
It's more matches.
Well, they tell the story in the ring.
Yeah, and I'll probably catch flack from the professor and the haters and headlocks for that, but I don't care. I'd rather have a good story than a good match.
Okay, so for you, it's not about the competition of two guys trying to best each other. You need that extra layer.
It depends on,
like, so, like, Kenny Okada works for you because it was two guys trying to be the champion, yes, and being the best, and there's the story. It
took them three bouts
to, right, get to where, but, they need, like, to
be. Reigns and Corbin does nothing for me because one of the matches suck and two, the story sucks. But so, if you give me, like, so Austin, like, and Rock, their trilogy.
Or, okay, so their trilogy of matches versus, I'm going to use an example outside of WWE, versus, like, Liger and Suzuki. They had a long-going story, but yeah, it was about Suzuki trying to ruin Liger, but then their match, yeah, went on. The match didn't mean as much as the story did, no, but you would have chose The Rock and Stone Cold because, yeah, of the story, yeah, being better.
Yeah. Okay. I like a story. Okay. If you don't have a story and you're just going out there for a match...
And I'm not saying that I wouldn't have chosen, yeah, The Rock and them too. I'm just throwing out examples, yeah, that, like, even though that's a story, it was told mostly in the ring.
I enjoy a good match, but get me emotionally invested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's fighting for, you know, he's two out of three of the matches, and he has to win, you know, to see who's the best. Okay, that gets me emotionally invested.
Right.
But if you just go out there and have a one-off, I'm like, oh, well, okay, whatever. It's a one-off. I'm done. Next. So, story means more to me than match.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like I need some note cards.
All right. There. So, by what you have said, you've kept me on track on what I was going to say. Okay. That's my number one.
Good. That's what I like to do.
I'm going to tell... There's only two. Honorable mentions.
Okay.
Honorable mentions.
Start with those.
Kevin Owens versus Cena. The very first time. Not on Raw.
Oh.
But the pay-per-view.
Okay.
That was great. I was in a hotel in Cleveland, and, like, everybody was like, hey, man, let's go swim, and then let's go drink. And I was like, you guys can go do that or go fuck yourselves or whatever. I'm watching this match. I was in it. I was into that. That was great. Of course, Seth becoming both champs.
Yeah.
That was one. Sting having not necessarily just the Triple H stuff, but that was cool
for him to come back.
But
for one,
him and, yeah, Seth, became the story for me because I went from surely they're not gonna let Sting win the WWE title, but maybe, like, I was that meme, yeah, of like, nah,
you're the blind guy blinking,
but. Then what happened? The buckle bomb drop. Oh, man. Heartbreaking by the, yep, end of it. So, like, that is definitely an honorable mention as well. Again, that's for story, you know? So, I'm going to skip my number two because I think you'll find number two interesting for me. But I'll tell you my number one.
Okay.
My number one, I know you're WWE number one. Match. Is based more on the story. My number two is based more on the match.
Oh, wow.
That's where they were floating.
Yeah.
Number one, CM Punk versus John Cena, Money in the Bank 2011.
Can I tell you something?
What?
It's my number two.
That's your number two?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is my number one because if you think anything past the rise of John Cena, the only things that you think, Punk, Shield, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
because and now I guess technically, if you really want to be about it, The Fiend. Those are the four steps after Cena being Super Cena.
Yeah, because the Nexus was before it.
Because you don't really think of Lesnar because Lesnar's not there that often.
Yeah,
you do think of him with the streak, but the consistent four things: Punk, Shield, Brian, and then now Fiend, I guess, if you're going to have one for right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Punk, like, kickstarted that thing, and the long reign, the longest reign in 25 years, all the way to his feud with Taker, like...
Can we just erase that?
Man, when he was tossing around the urn...
Well, and yeah, but
talk shit on Paul Bear
after
about
he
Paul
died.
Bear. Oh,
it
my
was good,
God.
But that whole debacle, that WrestleMania, was the shit.
Yeah, Well, I didn't say that the...
That's why I just want to erase the whole thing.
No, I'm just saying, like, in general...
That whole WrestleMania can be erased from my brain, to be honest with you.
I'm just saying in general.
Okay, I know.
But Punk versus Cena is my number one.
I'm just red-assed. And look at those pants.
I'm afraid, now that that's your number two, of what your number one is.
Okay, what's your number two?
I don't want to say it, because I'm afraid...
No, I want to know it. What's your number two?
My number two? Taker and HBK, WrestleMania 26.
You motherfucker, that's my number one.
that's what I said. Story versus match. That match. The story was great too. Yeah. But that match was better than anything.
This is why we're friends.
but Punk kickstarted more. That was the other argument that I had. WrestleMania 26 was the end.
Yeah. It was the career ending.
CM Punk's was the beginning.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, okay. So
that's my number one's WrestleMania 26. My number two is Money in Bank 2011. My number three, I have a number three and an honorable mention.
Okay.
My number three is DIY versus The Revival at Toronto.
Yeah, there's a lot of good NXT shit and too, it's not that I wasn't including that. It's just,
well,
at the time, how do you quantify when it's not the main roster?
Well, my honorable mention was Nakamura versus Sami Zayn TakeOver Dallas.
Yeah, those were really good matches.
Yeah,
when I say WWE, it didn't matter after that. I'm not thinking NXT because
I understand.
Up until this year, NXT was our thing. It was it was not WWE, it was but it was WWE. And I just, I kind of overlooked that. But you're right.
Well, then we should have did three categories.
The triple threat. Or are you just talking DIY versus...
The Revival,
just straight up?
Yeah.
That and the triple threat was good. But are you talking about where they had them both in the submission? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that one for sure. Sammy and Nakamura for sure.
Aleister Black and Andrade.
I was okay with it. I actually thought Johnny and Andrade did it more for me.
Or we do Bobby Roode and...
Nah.
Why? That was the debut of Adam Cole, you motherfucker.
No. Not that I hate Bobby Roode, but no. Bobby Roode...
Should have went straight to the main roster, not NXT.
Yep, I agree with you. by the time we had Finn and Joe 3, I was tired of that too. So...
I just felt like we got the demon a lot more in NXT than what we did when he was on the main roster.
Well, yeah, that was the hype, man. When the demon first showed up, man, I remember going wild, sharing that to everything I could, being like, look at this!
What about when he came as Jack the Ripper?
Yeah.
That was with the chainsaw and stuff. That was great. But then when he got to the main roster and you had... It was Finn... Who was Finn facing? Was it Seth? Yeah, for their debut for the Universal title.
Mm-hmm.
He's like... I'm the Demon King. It's just like, just fucking show up as a goddamn demon now.
Yeah.
Tired of waiting. We know what he is. Just come on.
Yeah, well, a lot of people didn't at that time.
Because a lot of people are underneath the damn rock.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is what it is.
But no. That's it. So top three, honorable mentions, Nakamura, Sami Zayn, TakeOver Dallas. I just still can't believe our number ones and number twos were just flip-flopped.
Yeah.
But that's crazy.
Well, that's why I said I was even teetering on it up until this point. In my gut, I was like, I love Punk. I loved that story. I want that to be number one. But, man, maybe the match matters more. I was like, should I really hold it to that? Or should I hold it to the story meant more? Because for me, and this is nothing against Shawn, I was a fan of Shawn Michaels later in his career.
Yeah.
But, like, even when Shawn was in DX, I could not stand Shawn Michaels.
That was the point.
No, but that's the thing. I liked Triple H. I liked the other members of DX. No. I never liked, good guy or bad guy, I never liked Shawn Michaels.
You know,
I just, for some reason, there was something about him that I did not like. And then when he came back against Triple H and did the whole, like, SummerSlam and all that, I was on board.
No.
Yep.
I hated him when he was the whole, I'm sober and I go to church and this is me with my little Dutch boy haircut. I hated that Shawn Michaels.
The only time I hated Shawn Michaels, the only time I actually hated Shawn Michaels after he returned was when he was with the JBL storyline. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, like Shawn Michaels doesn't have money. Fuck off. This story's stupid.
Yeah.
One other time that I was against him, even though I didn't hate him at the time, DX and Rated RKO.
Oh yeah.
I was a huge Rated RKO fan. But hey, still to this day, the only team ever to actually stop DX
was Team
Rated RKO. Because in their match, both Triple H and Shawn got injured. Remember, Triple H got injured, and Shawn started calling stuff on the fly with the chair and everything. But then in that brawl, Shawn ended up getting hurt too, and was off for like a month. But Triple H tore a quad, so he was out for a long time. So no one won. So Rated RKO didn't win against DX, but Rated RKO is the only team that took out DX. They stopped DX from being a thing. When they came back together, it wasn't DX for a while. Yeah. It was like 2 more years before they got back together. So
I just hated all the reincarnations of DX that they tried to do.
Yeah.
Except for when they brought Hornswoggle in.
That's why you only do it right and you only do it once, and their name is Rated RKO.
Yeah.
That beating that he did on Ric Flair, all those concertos, oh my God.
I miss Ric Flair wrestling.
Did you hear that recent news? We'll go ahead and include this one here. Did you hear the recent news about him getting cleared?
Yes.
I am so glad that Vince said no.
Yeah, he'll die in the ring.
Yeah, like...
He will literally die in the ring.
Yeah, like we that don't doesn't need that. To happen, no. If he wants to take a bump, even if it's a small bump, not a big bump.
Well, it's just like... It's like Edge being cleared for one more match at WrestleMania is what he wants. It's like... Stone Cold's cleared. They're all cleared, but it's like, guys, do you want to come back and look like Goldberg?
I can tell you one thing that I honest to God believe, and that is that Edge would not come back and look like Goldberg.
Well, no, I'm not.
And that fucking spear.
But you're missing my point.
You don't want to see him ruin. Like what Shawn Michaels did. You don't want to see him come back.
Well, I don't want to see a bald Shawn Michaels either.
Well,
but
you don't want to see him come back and lower the bar.
I want them to stay on the pedestal that I have them at. If you want to come, like Arne Anderson coming and doing a spine buster every 5 years, perfect. Love it.
Well, he's about to give one to Tosh. Daniel Tosh,
I
think.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Arn Sucks podcast.
you need to listen to Arn Anderson's podcast.
Did you see the skit?
Yes.
I thought that was great. He fucking got Hacksaw in there, too.
You need to listen to Arn Anderson's podcast. It's pretty damn great. But, yeah, they're all cleared. But I don't want to see them come back and have the ring rust and not move as good. Like, Taker... I really want to see Taker, like, in person, but I'd be okay if he didn't wrestle anymore. And that just took a lot out of me. I might cry. Give me a second. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think...
God.
I'm not gonna deny that even still... I'd be okay with Sting and Taker.
Well, yeah, but that's the only one that I want to see.
That's the only one I want to see, even if they're fucking geriatric. I want to see it.
They should have just did that.
I know.
But they had to have the nostalgia.
And I get if this happens, you're going to have so many people be like, they're fucking old. And I've even said...
They get the fuck over it.
I've even said I don't want to see it because of this, but... To know that Sting would be good enough to do one more match after the whole Seth thing.
Yeah.
To give Taker a better, like a true ending instead of, oh, we think he's done. No, let them both be done. It's both their retirement matches. Like we talked about on the pod last season.
Oh my God, that was so fun, that podcast.
That, if we got that, even with them being limited in the ring.
But neither one of them guys moved, like...
Crazy either, but you see what I'm saying, that like...
I mean, I don't want to see Taker doing no Topaz over top rope ring.
Oh, God, no. No. But Sting, just... Sting can still do a stinger splash, but if it's running more than leaping, like he just runs into him instead of, like, jump, I'm okay with that. I think Sting can still jump. It's just...
the jarring of the neck.
Yeah. Be careful.
But, I mean, that's what I'd like to see. It's just... they want to do a one-off with just them? It's fine. I'll go for it.
But nothing else.
But, I mean, you don't have to give me Triple H every so often. And I don't need to see Shawn Michaels, definitely not anymore.
Yeah.
Really don't need to. He's served his purpose. Stick with your retirement. I mean, The Rock doesn't need to come back. I wouldn't be upset with Edge coming back. But just the way his neck's a stack of dimes, I wouldn't want him to.
Yeah.
But no, other than that, I'd be okay with Sting and Taker. But Ric Flair, do not let him back in the damn ring. God, for whatever you do, don't let him. He's like one of the ones that's in the worst shape possible of the Four Horsemen. You realize that?
Who?
Flair.
Oh, yeah.
Tully still alright. Arn's...
well, you know why that is.
He's a solid profiler.
Tap the shoulders here. And none of them were the kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding, jet-flying, unless they were with Rick.
Don't steal my lines. Don't steal my lines. I had to go back and watch that TV promo.
Rick had a lot of stuff outside the ring that kept him up. Kept him going.
I had to sniffle, sorry. I had to go back and watch the TNA promo of him and Jay Lethal the other day. Oh my God, I lost it once again. Whatever. What we're trying to say is...
oldest ride, longest line.
They shut it down a long time ago. Don't steal my lines. But anyways, so no podcast next week, guys. We are on Christmas break, basically, is what we're going to call it. And we'll come back with most influential wrestler of 2010, the decade. And then after that, we have the special podcast where we discuss our childhoods.
Now, I want to properly hype that one up.
This is your life.
As we're going on, I want other people involved and stuff. And so we'll be sending that out as we get to our January 1st show and for that week following into it. So we might, I don't really want to, but we might have a gap in between the first and the next show to give proper time if we get a lot of response. We might have a news recap in between there. If not, it'll be the one directly following. We'll let everybody know by January 1st. We'll know. Well, we'll know because I'll start sharing around Christmas.
We're going to have to start.
Give your memories.
We'll have to start early on that podcast episode. You know that, right?
Because we're going to talk a lot.
That one might run a good 2-hour podcast. So, but other than that, guys, that's our list for matches.
Yeah.
I never realized how close they were going to be.
Yeah, I know, right? We both had the same one for outside, and we both had the top same two
for WWE.
So, all right. Well, guys, that's it. We are going to go ahead and depart here. Know that the link to submit your answers is on the Facebook page. It should be at the top of the page for everybody. It is marked as an announcement. Please go and fill out your honest thoughts. And on January 1st, we'll read them out to know who RTR thought won all these categories, whether or not we agree with them or not.
Yep.
We'll talk all about it. And you guys can be right there in the comments talking with us. Or, you know, if you're that far ahead of the game and want to be involved,
or if
shoot us a message.
Or if you're close, stop on
by. That's what I'm saying. Shoot us a message. You can be on.
Call us.
Yeah.
We'll set up a phone line.
Oh, God. That might be a little hard to do.
1-900.
No, not 1-900.
We're going to do WCW.
I was just thinking that.
9900.
Oh, my God. All right. What a way to end. Guys, thank you as always for running with us. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.